Very happy to head down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline right now. Welcome in Zach Currier of the Calgary Roughnecks as we get set for game number two on Saturday. Zach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you feeling? Three games out from game two.
I'm pretty pumped. I'm wishing it's Saturday already. I haven't been sleeping much this week because I'm too excited.
So, well, I would imagine so. Take us back to last weekend. Game one in Buffalo, 15,000 plus at that building, and you're able to come away with a 10-7 victory. Your overall thoughts on a game one win and putting yourself in a spot to win this championship?
I would place a lot of that under our leadership and the way that they prepared us for that game. We went into that game thinking that there's no tomorrow and we needed to win that game and make sure that we came back to Calgary up 1-0 rather than down 1-0. And we went out and we executed our game plan to perfection, I thought, and we ended up being victorious, which is what we got to do at this time of the season. We make any mistakes out there, the Bandits are going to make us pay. They're a very talented team, so we just got to try to limit that as much as we can.
Zach, you go back to the last game of the regular season and that big win over Saskatchewan, your team averaging less than 8 goals against per game, which is crazy. What is clicking so well for your team defensively right now?
I think that we've just all bought in as a collective unit. You look up and down the line for our defensive units, and we got guys blocking shots, we got guys taking whacks and hacks, and then it doesn't hurt that we've got the play of Christian DelBianco to back us up when we do slip up here and there, because he's been lights out for us all season, and the playoffs are very much the same. So I think it's all of us is playing together, and then having Christian back there as our backbone is pretty awesome to have.
How much, you know, because this is a year-long building thing, and it's all about, especially in the NLL, it's all about peaking at the right time, but how much of a focus all year long was zoning in defensively and making sure that was kind of the hallmark of this team's game?
I mean, we visited every week. We come back in and we try to focus on our game. I think maybe for the first half of the season, we might have been trying to focus on the other team a little too much and what they're going to do. Whereas in the second half, we kind of went into the games thinking, I don't care how you're playing, you're going to play our game back here, and we're going to dictate where you're going with the ball, and that's the end of the story. So I think it's just more so just not worrying about what the other team's going to do and sticking to our defensive principles, because they're there for a reason, and just be confident in one another and trust that your teammates are going to communicate you the right course of action, whether the ball's high or low or whatever the situation might be.
With Zach Currier of the Calgary Roughnecks, game two of the NLL final Saturday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. You mentioned your goaltender, Christian DelBianco, makes 48 saves in game number one. He was out of his mind in that West Division final against Colorado, only allowing 4 goals. You and Christian came into the league together. This is both of your second years. Just a thought on your goaltender and this unbelievable run he's been on since kind of making his debut last season.
It just goes to show how mentally strong he is, just the way he's been able to carry his play into the postseason as a young goalie. And I can't tell you how many articles I've seen where it's like goalies usually don't come into their prime until they're 30 years old or so, and they figure out the league. When Christian's younger than I am, and he's already making a case for goaltender of the year with the way he's been playing all season and in the postseason. You can imagine that it was loud in Buffalo, and the way he was able to kind of shut them out and play his game just shows how mentally tough he is and how he's just a true gamer.
Well, and stared down one of the best of all time at the other end, right?
Yeah. It's not easy doing that either. Going up against Matt Vince, he's pretty incredible too. But if it's battles with goalies, game one, I would say it's pretty safe to say that Christian won that battle for game one.
Here you are in your second year in the NLL, and you've seen Dane Doby do what he does for two seasons now, and he's taken it to another level in the postseason. I don't know how surprising that is, but how about what he does in game number one? Goal late in the third quarter, two goals in the fourth quarter. He saves his goals for the most important time. Like, that can't be surprising knowing what Dane Doby's all about.
No, not surprising at all. The game last year in Colorado was pretty insane. That was kind of the first time where I was surprised by Dobes and the way he put the team on his back in that game. And there was no question that he's going to do it again. He's been great for us all season long. He's been great in the postseason. He's one of the best competitors I've been able to play alongside in my entire career. Even though I've only been able to play with him for 2 years, it's just the way that he talks and carries himself in the situations in the game, whatever it might be, whether we're up or down, he's always saying the right things. He's always bringing the team together, and he's obviously doing what he can to help us too, which is why he's going to win MVP this year.
Mm-hmm. His best season, and he does it at the age of 34. It's pretty impressive. 32 rather. It's pretty impressive. Take us back to the fourth quarter of that game on Saturday. So you're up. You've got a pretty comfortable lead. It's 9-4. Then Buffalo goes on a 3-0 run to get within two. All of a sudden, that building is loud again, and the Bandits have all the momentum. What was the message? What was the feel on the bench and with the team as Buffalo made things really close there?
Just kind of going back to our principles. We strayed away from them. They had a couple goals in transition, but they're a team that scores in bunches, and we kind of just had to bring it back in. We started off the game this way, and we kind of strayed away from it for the last couple minutes. Let's just go back to that. No panicking. We're up by two goals, 5 minutes left. They're right where we want them, and having Christian back there locked down any chances they got was huge. So we just kind of had to bring it in, calm down, and stick to the way we've been playing the rest of the game before that point.
So does anybody say anything? Is that a message from Kurt? Is that just something that everybody on the team knew intrinsically? Like is there something said at that point?
Riley Lone was the guy that was saying it, but I think everyone was thinking it. Like, we're up by two, 5 minutes left. Where else do you want to be? Like, there's no other time you're going to control the game as much as you can then at that point with 5 minutes left in the fourth. So, I mean, it was on everyone's mind. I think just getting it out there, Riley was the one walking up and down the benches, but we calmed it down. And then obviously Mitch Wild put that last one in to put us up three, which kind of sealed the deal. So It was pretty nice to see that go in.
With Zach Currier of the Calgary Roughnecks, game two NLL final is on Saturday. Best of three. Roughnecks have an opportunity to wrap up their third National Lacrosse League Championship at home in a few days' time. So, Zach, what do you expect from this Bandits team with their season on the line? What do you expect from them on Saturday?
I mean, they've got one of the best lacrosse minds in the game on their side in John Tavares. So I'm expecting they're going to come out with something different, at least slightly, if not completely different than what they came out last game. And they're going to try to probably isolate us in situations where they thought they were successful this past game and then eliminate the ones where they weren't. So I'm expecting a completely new Buffalo Bandits team. But to us, it doesn't really matter because, like I said before, we just got to stick to our defensive principles and play the way that we can. And I think we'll be happy with the result.
Just take us into your head right now. You've got an opportunity to wrap this thing up at home, and I know that you try not to look ahead or think too much, but just the excitement level of being able to play this huge game, biggest game of your season, and to be able to do it at the Saddle Dome.
I mean, if the last game of the regular season was any indication of what our fans might be like in this finals, it's going to be pretty crazy. We had 19,000 in there against Saskatchewan, and I can't imagine we're going to have any less against Buffalo this weekend. So it's going to be loud, but with that being said, we have to really keep our emotions in check. We can't go out there guns a-blazing and try to just let the crowd be our fuel, because then we start making uncharacteristic mistakes, whether we're trying to do too much or whatever. So I think we kind of treat it just as a regular game and try to block the crowd out, maybe ride a few waves with the energy they're giving us. But for the most part, it shouldn't really matter.
Well, it's funny you went there because that's what I was going to ask you next. I mean, you know it's going to be loud. You know the excitement's going to be off the charts and the atmosphere is going to be great. But do you almost have to guard against getting too into it and guard against getting too excited so that you don't stray away from the way you need to play?
Yeah, for sure. Just like in a horse race, you don't want to come out and kill your horse right off the first leg. You want to be able to make sure that you're going to make it the whole way. So we gotta just stay poised, stay calm throughout the game and just try not to let that play too much of a factor. But I mean, we do have the best fans in the game and they're loud and we do feed off their energy. So it's going to be, we just got to find a balance with that. It'll definitely be easier than playing in Buffalo last weekend, which I'm happy about.
So this is year two in the NLL for you. You've played big time lacrosse at Princeton. You've played big lacrosse games before. So are there any games from the past individually you can take and just in the way you approached it that you can take prior experiences and take into Saturday night?
Kind of. I've been fortunate enough to have been on a couple winning teams in my time, but I've never won in the NLL, obviously. And talking with the vets, like they're few and far between. They're not. It's not an easy thing to do. So I can't really rely on too much of my past experiences because they didn't happen in the NLL. But I mean, for the most part, my preparation is going to stay the same. But who knows what's going to happen once we get out on the floor.
What's the next few days like for you?
The next few days, I am in Michigan right now. I work for Warrior Lacrosse at their headquarters in Sterling Heights. So I'll be in Michigan until Friday morning. Then I'll hop in the car, drive up to Pearson Airport, where I'll fly out with my teammates from Toronto, and then land in Calgary Friday evening. Get to practice, get a good bite to eat, and then get a good rest before Saturday. So it'll be a fun few days.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, hopefully, Zach, your flight back to Pearson is a celebratory one. But all the best of luck on Saturday in game two of the NLL final. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for having me on.